There's one phrase that I want to hold on to. John 12 and 32. You don't have to stand for this because I'm just going to read this. Then we'll go to Luke chapter 9. I was stumped up in John chapter 3 because Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And so I was looking there thinking that this was the next scripture. But verse 32 says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And I feel like the Lord for 2017 has given me to pray that God will draw men to Him. Amen. My prayer for 2017 is that God will draw men to Him. He said that He would draw all men if He was lifted up from the earth, that He would draw all men unto Him. And so I felt like the Lord spoke to me today, or dealt with my spirit, spoke in my heart, you know, quickened my spirit concerning 2017, that I would pray that He would draw men to Him. Amen. Luke chapter 9 for our scripture reading tonight. Luke chapter 9 and verse number 28. The Bible says, came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, He took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as He prayed, the fashion of His countenance was altered, and His raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with Him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory, and spake of His decease, which He should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with Him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw His glory, and the two men that stood with Him. And it came to pass, as they departed from Him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for Thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what He said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. There came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is My beloved Son, hear Him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things that they had seen. It came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met Him. And, behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech Thee, look upon my son, for he is my only child. And, lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him, heartily departing from him. Now I besought Thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring Thy son hither. And as He was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they all were amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, every one at these things which Jesus did, He said unto His disciples, Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. Amen. Lord, we thank You for Your word tonight. We thank You for the privilege to preach on this first day of January 2017. I have gratefulness in my heart tonight, Lord, for You bringing me here to this point, Lord, in this time, in my life and in Your time, Lord. I believe You have great things in store. Lord, I pray that You help us as we go to Your word, that You help us to expound Your word and to receive from Your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible says, on the next day when they came down from the hill. I want to talk to us for a little while on the phrase, come down from the hill. Come down from the hill. Nobody wants to come off that mountaintop. None of us want to leave that mountaintop experience. It is a wonderful thing to have a mountaintop experience with God. God gives them to us. But God did not make us to be on the mountain all the time. Amen. We're people of the valley. You don't have to serve God very long to know that you're going to be a person of the valley. Amen. Down low. And you have to come off that mountain some point or another, sometime. I remember, this is a little comical, but I remember that some folks came from California and told my dad, he said, he was, you know, kind of a jokester type man. He said, if you get under that table, I can get you out of that table, out from under that table. And my dad said, how are you? He said, without touching you, I can get you out from under that table. And so my dad thought, well, I don't know about this. And so my dad got down on his hands and knees and got under that table. And he just turned his back and started talking. Dad's like, hey, he said, oh, you'll come out of there before long. He said, you'll come out of there. Well, my dad, he said, okay. He just come out. He said, I told you I could get you out from under that table. And I have an uncle that is from Germany, very educated man. And this ain't near as funny to y'all because y'all didn't see it all. But my dad went to the next family gathering or whatever, and he told my uncle. And I mean, you talking about this man is very smart and educated. He's on up there, you know. He's way up there. And my dad convinced him if he got under that table, he could get him out from under that table. He stayed under there for like an hour and a half. He was bound and determined. He finally come out from under that table. And the next time my dad saw him, he said, I told you I'd get you out from under that table. But that was a little joke, you know. We got to come down from the hill. No matter what experience you got with God, there'll come a time you got to come down. You got to come on down the hill. Bible says here it was the next day that they came down the hill. They was up. The Bible tells us that they went up into a mountain to pray. One of the Gospels says it was an exceeding high mountain. Hey, listen, this was a great experience with God for these three, Peter, James, and John, the select, amen, of the disciples. I know that God chose to use them in a special way and to show them. He said that he took Peter, James, and John. As he prayed, his countenance was altered. Amen. Peter heard the voice of God Almighty. Peter, James, and John was in the cloud. Amen. God said, this is my beloved son. Hear him. They saw Elijah and Moses. Ain't that something? Moses is dead, but yet he's got a resurrected body. They saw Moses. Elijah has never died. Amen. He was there. You know, when we get to heaven, there's going to be saints that never died, and there's going to be saints that have died. And you know what? Who told Peter that this was Moses and Elijah? I don't want to mess up y'all's doctrine tonight. The people say, you're not going to know nobody when you get to heaven. Really? Who told Peter that this was Moses and Elijah? He just knew it was Moses and Elijah. When we get to heaven, we're going to know one another. Look me up when we get over there. Hallelujah. I'm going to look for you. I'm going to hunt you down. It may take me 1,000 years to find you as you walk down the streets of gold, Sister Bobby. But I'm going to look you up when I get over there, and we're going to worship God together just like we have many times around here. Hallelujah. Moses and Elijah was on that mountain, and Peter said, oh, it's good for us to be here. Let's build 3 tabernacles. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you. One for, amen, one for Moses, Elijah, amen, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Not knowing what he said, one of the Gospels said he didn't know what to say. Not knowing what to say. Amen. You know, when you don't know what to say, just don't say nothing. Somebody should have told Peter that a long time ago. You know, in the Bible, Peter was the one, he just was spurred out. But you know, God used Peter. We would have thought God will never use that man, you know. He denied the Lord three times, yet he preached on the day of Pentecost. And all the others was there, but Peter preached. You know, Peter was so anointed that if his shadow they would lay the sick in the street. And if Peter's shadow went over them, they was healed. The power of God was in that man's shadow. Hallelujah. Amen. And Peter said, it's good for us to be here. Amen. You talking about an experience. This was an experience like none of the other disciples ever experienced anything like this. They saw Jesus in his glory. None of the other disciples ever saw him in his glory. We're going to see him in his glory one day. The whole world is going to see him in his glory. And some are going to run to the rocks and mountains and say, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Jesus in his glory. Oh God. Hallelujah. But they had to come down that hill. You don't want to come down that hill. I've been in services where I didn't want to leave. I've been in prayer where I didn't want to come out of the room. Amen. I've been in revivals where I didn't want to close. Amen. I've been in the presence of God. I didn't want to leave. Amen. But the Bible said they came down the hill. We've got to come down the hill at some time or another. Amen. There's a generation that we must face. Hallelujah. There's a generation that we must help. There's a generation that we must show the light to. Amen. Jesus said, oh, faithless and perverse generation. If we ever lived in that day and hour, in the faithless generation. Brother Frank came and preached to us this morning about ignoring voices that are contrary to faith. Amen. Ignoring. Amen. The forces. Amen. That is against our progress. You know, the devil talks us out of a lot of God's blessings. The devil talks us out of a lot of healing. Amen. I was thinking about this morning when the Lord healed me of shingles. Amen. I had a 4-inch band of shingles that went from right here in the middle of my chest all the way back to my backbone. Just went right around and God healed me instantly of shingles. And I went to work the next day. He healed me probably about 9, 10, maybe 11 o'clock at night. And I was at work the next morning, 8 o'clock, crawling under a house. I'm talking about shingles like you wouldn't believe. Big old wide band of them stuck out on my chest and all around. Didn't lower my arm. You talking about pain. I don't know if anybody's ever had shingles or not, but very painful. And the Lord healed me instantly of them. And the doctor had told me when I was in there, he said, you know, you're going to have this problem the rest of your life, and said, you're going to have to stay away from stressful situations. Well, I should have quit preaching right then. He said, well, you know, you're going to have to keep yourself calm. You'll not have to worry. Had a long talk with me. You're not going to, I was young. I was 20 years old. Wasn't I 20 years old? Been 20 years old. I mean, I still went behind the ears. And he said, you'll have to not be nervous, and you'll have to take care of your immune system, because those shingles will come out when your immune is low and your stress level is high. It has to do with stress. Amen. But anyways, but the Lord healed me instantly. I wasn't pastoring, but they called me to come preach at a church. The very next time I went to preach, the very next time I preached after I'd been healed of shingles, it was a bigger church, and I mean, not really huge, but there was probably 100 people there or something like that, maybe 50, I don't remember, but it was a pretty good sized church, and they asked me to preach it. I was nervous. You can't help but be nervous when you get ready to preach. And I was nervous, and I sat there, and I felt those shingles. I felt them just as real as I did when I had them in that doctor's office. I'm talking about hurting. I said, devil, you're a liar. I said, God, heal me of these shingles. Devil, you're a liar. God, heal me of these shingles. And I'm here to tell you, by the grace of God, I have never had another shingle or shingles since then. Thank God. You know, the doctors, once you get shingles, you'll always get shingles. You'll have them the rest of your life.
Check it out. Amen. Unless God heals you. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you carry that chicken pox virus, and when it turns that shingle virus in you and it pops out, and they say it'll always pop out. Y'all didn't know y'all was going to get some medical teaching tonight, did you? Well, you can go look it up and see if it's right or not. I don't know if everybody agrees with me or not. Just go out there and Google it. Man, you get so much. The doctor tell you, say, when he'll diagnose you, said, don't Google nothing. Scare you to death, man. You're talking about you'll be dead in your mind. But anyways, they faithless generation, the devil will talk us out of stuff. The devil could have talked me out of healing right there that night. But I'm telling you, God is the healer. He said, oh, faithless generation. Amen. Peter, James, and John come down the mountain, and they had to face a faithless generation. That's what Jesus said. Oh, faithless generation. Wouldn't it be a whole lot better just stay up on the mountain? Amen. A tabernacle for Jesus, a tabernacle for Moses, and a tabernacle for Elias. You know, Peter said this here. You know why? Amen. The Bible, the Gospels, amen, tells us a lot that Peter said, because Peter's a lot like us. Amen. You think about it, a lot of the things that Peter says, now we can put our spirituality cloak on and we can act like we're something when we're not. But really and truthfully, he's saying what we would have said probably. But the faithless generation that we live in today, God help us to have faith. Amen. You know that unbelief is a sin. You know that unbelief is a very dangerous thing. Unbelief stops the hand of God. We are to believe God. Amen. Amen. All of God's people have been faith people. All of God's people have had faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, you can throw us in that fire, and we don't know if God's going to deliver us or not, but said, amen, he is able to deliver us. Amen. We may die in that fire, but it don't mean we don't believe in him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God for faith. God help us to have faith and believe in God. Amen. Because God still moves, and God, amen, wants to help us. Amen. And they had to come down that hill. Praise God. It'd be good to stay up on the mountain. It'd be good to stay up on the hill. But you got to come down the hill and face a faithless generation. People don't believe God. If people believe God, they'd live different. People don't believe God. They don't believe his word. Amen. We'd live different. Praise God. But God's word is true. And he is, amen, still on the throne. Faithless generation. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter number 17. Amen. The same story. Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 20. Amen. The disciples in this scripture had tried to cast the devil out. Did you notice that? They had tried to cast the devil out of this child and they could not. Jesus rebuked the devil. In verse 18 of Matthew 17, he departed out of him. The child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence into yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not but by prayer and fasting. You got to fast and pray. But you know what I got to think of today? If we've really got faith in God, we're going to pray and fast anyways. Unbelief will cause us not to pray and fast. Unbelief hinders our walk with God. Unbelief will cause us not to seek God. They was dealing with the devil. You can't deal with the devil in your own self. I'm telling you, sometimes God's people have to deal, amen, with demon possession, or maybe, amen, casting out the devil. The Bible says in Mark that they shall lay hands on the sick. They shall, amen, cast out devils. And sometimes we have to cast out devils, but you're not going to cast out no devil if you don't have no faith in God. We got to believe God. Believe in the Lord. Amen. And the Bible here says, because of your unbelief, you couldn't cast him out.
Amen. They wouldn't fast and pray. They wouldn't fast and pray because they didn't believe God was going to do nothing. Amen. And in Mark chapter number 9, Jesus said, "O faithless generation," in verse 19, "how long shall I be with you? And how long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me." Still the same story in our scripture text. They brought him unto him, and when he saw him, he straightway the spirit tear him. He fell on the ground and wallowed foaming, and he asked his father, "How long ago has this came unto him?" He said, "Of a child, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus saith unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible unto him that believeth." Glory to God. A faithless generation. They just come off the mountain. Jesus has, amen, been transfigured before them. They've seen him in his glory. Amen. They wanted to stay on the mountain. Peter said, "Let's stay up here on the mountain," but they had to come down and face a faithless generation. The first thing they had to deal with was a problem amongst their preacher brothers where they had prayed for a child that wasn't helped. They had prayed for a demonic, amen, possessed person, child, that was not delivered. That's the first thing they had to deal with. I want to tell you something. It'd be good to stay on the mountain forever. It'd be good to stay up there. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, you've got to come down the hill and face what is in the valley. Amen. Faithless generation. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter number 18, he said, "I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" How is your faith tonight? Amen. How do you believe God? Amen. What about your prayers? Amen. Has your faith got you going back to God repeatedly like the unjust judge? Amen. Hear what the unjust judge saith, he's saying. Amen. This woman had faith that everything was going to be all right. Hallelujah, Jesus. The perverse generation. The Bible tells us in our scripture text, in Luke here, it says that Jesus said, "O faithless and perverse generation." Do you know that we live in a perverse generation? We wouldn't believe the things that go on sometimes. Amen. Maybe we would. Amen. But God has to turn his head, no doubt, in looking down at this earth sometimes at the wickedness. Amen, that he sees. You know, God destroyed the world with the flood in the book of Genesis because they were so wicked. They were so wicked and perverse that God looked on man and he said, "I'm going to destroy him." But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, the Bible says. Amen. And he sent a flood and destroyed the earth. He destroyed all of mankind because of the flood. Because of the sin. And God looks at this earth today, but he's not going to destroy it with the flood this time. He's going to destroy it with fire. God's going to burn this world up one of these days, and he's going to create a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. But perverse generation. The Bible said that the wickedness of man was only evil continually. Amen. We find ourselves so many times, amen, wondering, amen, about our children growing up in this world. Growing up, you know, and seeing the things that they see, we find ourselves thinking about our children growing up and the generation that is being raised up that seems like don't even hardly know what morals are. Amen. You know what one generation's limit will be the next one's standard. And it just keeps on moving and keeps on moving. Amen. And that's why we need God to help us and God to send a revival. The Bible tells us in Judges chapter 2, amen, and verse number 8, Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. They buried him in the border of his inheritance in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Verse 11, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. perverse generation, the wickedness that goes on in the world that we live in, the wickedness that, amen, lurks in the hearts of men, the wickedness that is everywhere and all around us. God help us. Have y'all ever heard the phrase, if God don't judge America, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah? You ever heard that phrase? Well, I don't know if it's completely biblical, amen, but the Bible does say that the men, amen, of Nineveh would rise up in judgment against this generation. I'm talking about a perverse generation. Jesus told him, he said, the men of Nineveh will rise up against you in this generation on the day of judgment. I don't know if Sodom, amen, will rise up in the day of judgment. Jesus doesn't say that. He says in Matthew 11, and I've got the wrong thing here. It's not Matthew 11, but yeah, it is Matthew 11 and verse number 23. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee would have been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. You know why? Because they had an opportunity and Sodom didn't have the opportunity. You know why God's going to judge people more and the severity of judgment will be greater on people is because of the opportunity that we have. And when we have an opportunity or when we know something, the judgment is greater. The Bible talks about that. It's talking about be beaten with a few stripes or beaten with many stripes. That's why we got to be careful, young people. When we know better than to do something and we do it, the judgment is greater. And but talking about God would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. The day and hour we live in America, the things that go on in our land is such a disgrace to God's eyes and what He sees. Amen. It's a mockery in the face of God. Amen. When we know better. Amen. Many homes in this land have a Bible or Bibles in their house. But they never read it. But God will judge them just the same, whether they read it or not. Amen. Because you tell me that they got that holy word of God sitting there, and God don't ever deal with them, pick up that Bible and read it. You talking about people drive by churches? There's churches on every corner in Kilgore. There's churches on every corner in East Texas. There's churches everywhere. Amen. And are they full today? Are they full? No, because man is doing what they want to do. It is a perverse generation. He said, the Capernaum exalted up to heaven shall be brought down to hell. God help us, because we know better. Amen. We ought to do better. America must do better. We'll be judged, young people. If you know better than to do something, your judgment is greater when you do it. God requires out of us. Bible said there was a time that God winked at ignorance, but now He commands everywhere, commands every man everywhere to repent. You know what repentance is? It's turning our back on it. I'm telling you, if you're fighting the devil on something tonight, amen, and you're trying to cover it or hide it or act like God didn't do it. You know, that's something how we'll act like we're not convicted about something. God convicts us about something, well, we're going to act like we ain't convicted about it. When the whole time, the truth of the matter is, we know better than what we're doing. And we are convicted about it. We're convicted about it, and God will judge us about it. God will judge us for those things because we know better. You can read Romans chapter 7. Amen. And Paul is talking about, amen, he said, it wasn't a sin before the law was there. But when the law came, and I knew better, and I kept doing it, that's when it becomes sin. And see, when God deals with us about something, church, we have got to constantly try our best and do our best to overcome it, because God is not unfaithful. He won't tell you not to do something and then you can't do it. You're either telling me that you're a liar or God's a liar. Which one? Who am I going to believe? You know, tonight the Lord is speaking to somebody's heart right now about something that's involved in their soul and their life and something that they're doing. I'm going to tell you something.
God knows you can quit. God knows we can quit. We might not want to quit, but God knows that we can. Amen. And God wouldn't deal with us about it, Brother Curtis. I don't believe God would deal with us about it if we couldn't quit. I just don't believe that. Amen. But the perverse generation that we live in, God help us. Amen. They had to come down the hill and face a perverse generation. You know what John the Baptist called that generation? He said, "Oh, generation of vipers." He looked at those people and said, "You're a generation of snakes." What would John the Baptist call 2017 if he walked on our campuses? If he walked on our, amen, in our streets? What would John the Baptist call us? Amen. He called that generation a generation of snakes. Amen. God help us tonight. Amen. Help us to receive from you. Jesus said, and I'm going to move on from perverse generation. I'm preaching on come down the hill. It's so much better just to stay up the hill and not face a perverse generation. But brother and sister, you got to stand against sin. Stand against it. Amen. You know, you don't have to, I don't think that we ought to be, crazy and nonsense, and God has to give us wisdom. Amen. Sometimes, you know, I was in a place with somebody one time, and, we was in a public place, and there's a difference in trying to be a witness and trying to get attention. Y'all still with me? I've been with people, they needed attention so bad, I guess I wasn't giving them enough. And they wanted to, bow down and let's pray and just go to holler and screaming in the restaurant or something, over the
potato chips
or French fries, Oh Lord, bless this, or something like that. I'm not talking about that, but when people, amen, stand against you with evil, you stand back, resist back. I remember, I've told y'all this before probably, but maybe y'all forgot it, I don't know. But I was walking through Walmart on Sunday morning. I think I had to go get something in real early, I don't remember what it was, and there was a guy carrying a big old pack of beer and some fishing poles. He's got a fishing pole in his hand and a pack of beer. He's going down the aisle. I guess right here. Well, I'm dressed just like this, I got a white shirt on, all this. Well, it's Sunday morning, where do you think I'm going? He's walking, and then I don't know what kind of guy I just walked by, and he stopped me. Right at me. We was eyeball to eyeball. And I said, "Man, you need to go put that back on the shelf and go to church." Yeah. That's it. Right here in Kilgore Walmart. I live to tell about it, so. Wasn't that bad. But anyways, perverse generation. People out there drinking beer today who should be in the house of God. People committing adultery. Amen. When they know better, God will judge us. Perverse generation. We must face a perverse generation when we come down the hill. Amen. The Bible said that the Pharisees answered and said, "Show us a sign." Jesus said, an evil and adulterous generation. My, if we ever lived in an evil and adulterous generation. If you don't believe it's an adulterous generation. Amen. Watch television just for a moment. It's all about adultery and fornication and all kinds of a lascivious lifestyle. You try to find a movie or something, they got some kind of wicked love scene in it. God help us. It's an adulterous generation. You know why? It appeases the flesh. Do you know what the flesh will do? The flesh is what destroyed the world before, and it'll destroy the world this time. God sometimes will let a nation or a people or a family just go. Oh, God help us. You come down the hill, you're facing a perverse generation. He said an adulterous generation seeketh a sign. No sign will be given it but the sign of Jonas, which was Jonah. Said Jonah was in the whale's belly. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas and because a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. He said, when an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places and seeketh rest and findeth none. Talking about demons. And then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come out, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this generation. You know, a devil comes out of a person. A demon leaves a person. He'll come back. The Bible says that. He'll come back by that house. That's why you've got Sister Bethany's yawn over here. I better quit. That's why you got to fill your house up with something. You got to get God in your house. You can't just kick the devil out. You can't just quit sinning. You got to start living for God and doing right. You got to do good. Amen. He said it's going to be like this generation. You know what Jesus was saying? I, the Son of God, have came to this earth and I have cast the devil out. But what are you going to do with it? You're going to leave the house empty. And said that devil's going to go and he's going to find seven others worse than himself. And he's going to move back in, and the last state will be worse than the beginning. Amen. A perverse generation. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. And then lastly, hurting and helpless generation. Hurting people. You're talking about hurting. You're talking about broken. You're talking about desiring. This man, the Bible tells us in Mark, when they came down from the mountain, that the Bible said that the father of the child cried out with tears. How many times do you think he had cried before over that child as he threw him in the fire, as the devil threw him in the water, as the devil done his best to hurt him? And people are hurting. Amen. When we come down the hill, that's what we must face. God help us tonight in 2017 to face this generation. Amen. Just exactly the way God wants us to. Stand together with me tonight. Help us, Lord, in this new year to face this generation. Amen. God, help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's come find us a place to pray.